Blog Talk Radio.
Georgia, and that was Ayana of Elise Entertainment, who's the CEO of her corporation. And the topic for today, as always, is celebrating changing the face of contracting, green projects, careers, and businesses. Come join us each week for various topics regarding our industry. One of the things that we want to discuss wholeheartedly is our alliance to the U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce and the alliances that we have strategically with the individuals that are committed to working with women and women in general in business. The good thing about working in alliances is that we contribute interactions of each individual's primarily missions and goals. And we make sure that basically the outcome is something that individuals who are CEOs of companies, the objectives for the goals of that those organizations are met. And so we are very proud to have networks of individual women and men, minority-owned firms and non-minority-owned firms to endorse and support the efforts of the National Coalition. We want to welcome to the show some of our callers on the show for right now. And I know that the area codes reflect South Georgia, and also Tennessee. We are looking to talk about some very, very crucial subjects that are very detrimental to the existence of all of our businesses, and that is the green projects and the careers that are in the business industries regarding not just construction, but all together interactive, integral parts of our day-to-day lives. The Recovery Act is reflected upon the individuals who are on Main Street and not Wall Street. I met with the city of Holly Springs, Georgia, last week, and one of the things that the community economic development individual stated was that the dollars have to trickle into the communities in order to see the reactions that we thought that would take place with the stimulus money. One of the things that we are aware of that as women, we have the ability to hire individuals within our community. And online we have two individuals. We have an individual from the 615 area code. I want to welcome you to the call. Welcome, caller.
Thank you.
And we have an individual from the 706 area code. Welcome, caller, to the call.
Thank you.
Very good. And I'm just going to kind of jump into the subject for today. As we know, there's a lot of individuals, and I think the individuals that are on here, I think I know, and they're both chief executive officers of corporations. And so when we look at historically as business owners, as CEOs, we, as women and CEOs, we tend to hire individuals in our communities that that we may live not directly next door to, but we shop with, that we interact with on a day-to-day level. But however, if we're not receiving the contracts on that level, it makes it hard to employ individuals on that level. So I want to get you guys a comment regarding that. If you all had up, go ahead.
Perhaps later.
Okay. What I want to do is just kind of ask the caller from 615. Can you state your name and where you're from?
This is Sherry, and I'm from Nashville, Tennessee.
And you are a business owner.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Can you kind of answer maybe your input about being a business owner, trying to employ our communities inside of the industry that you are? What is the name of your company?
Insight, and it's spelled with a capital N-S-Y-T-E, Development Corporation.
Okay, and what do you get? What does your business do?
We actually help small businesses, we're a nonprofit organization that helps small businesses and disadvantaged businesses with business development services.
Okay, so most of the disadvantaged businesses, is there a ratio of companies that are male versus female? Is it 50-50, 20-30? What do you see the volume of those types of companies that you work with?
You said the disadvantaged?
Yeah, is it typically is it typically minority female, minority male? Is there maybe a percentage that maybe could be noted to identify which are the characteristics of business owners that you pretty much service from time to time?
Most of the time they are minority men. And I do have minority women, but most of, I would say, it's about 70-30.
Okay. And when you look at those minority men, have you had a chance to look at the organization structure that kind of depicts the objective of the company's goals in hiring particular individuals that are that's in their area that they actually have their corporate office in? In other words, do they typically hire individuals in their community, or do they do you have any idea what their hiring practices are?
Usually, yes, they're hiring people in their community. They may hire family members or close friends of theirs who have expertise in the area that they actually are working in. And what I usually ask them to do or, you know, steer them towards is to not just hire a family member just because they're a family member, but to qualify that family member.
And then really, typically, there is a more a classification where those family members, again, are the ones that, and this, the question was, upon the stimulus package, we are the, and those in the, your clients are individuals who hire people who are from Main Street, not Wall Street, pretty much, because these are Main Street clients. These are not Fortune 500 companies. These are guys who may do, you know, less under as the SBA says, under $10 million a year, and qualify as a small business, right?
Yes, we have actually two levels of our business, and one is from the nonprofit standpoint. We are actually targeting. I would say the minority, well, not minority women, but disadvantaged women, and they can be of any, they can be of any race or color or creed, it doesn't matter. And then from the standpoint of minority men, it would be, you know, they would have to be in the minority. And we also, the other level that we have for our business, we do have a business-to-business clientele, and those clientele, we actually offer workshops, and they're professional career workshops, and we actually go in and help their staff with certain areas of their business. So to answer your question, we have two different levels of our business. One, in our nonprofit, who we target, we're targeting the disadvantaged, and we actually help them with deep discounts of our service. And then we have, on the other level, in our another phase of our business, our business-to-business contacts. They could be, I mean, they're universities, they could be Fortune 500. They actually pay our fees, full market fees for our service.
Okay, and when those individuals, why do you feel the need to try to discount businesses like that? Why not just go and charge what you would normally typically charge? What's the goal in trying to work with those individuals on that budget level?
Well, the reason is because most disadvantaged owners don't have access to business development services, and when they do need the service, which most of them do, they can't afford it at market rates, most of them. And so what we do is we have sliding scale fee, and that sliding scale fee helps those individuals receive a discount. What we do as a nonprofit is we ask for sponsors so that we can offset the cost of helping those disadvantaged businesses.
Are most of those businesses, are they involved in the, I call it the Barack Obama age of green careers and starting green careers or green businesses, I'm sorry. And are they one of those and other companies positioned like that, or are they just kind of run of the mill firms?
The ones that I've dealt with right now, yes, most of them are just normal businesses. They have not entered the realm of green businesses. We are working with closely looking at that area because that's really important. And especially since we're a business development corporation, we want to keep in line with that. And so that's an area that we're really looking at helping our clients to become more efficient in, but most of our clients are not yet.
Okay. One of the questions I have for you is that the difference, are those individuals involved in any kind of construction or contracting or related industries involving the construction industry or contracting in any kind of way? Are they do they procure in order to stay in business, or are they just service driven?
I have one client who is actually service, or and this is not a he's not a client yet, but he is actually in the construction arena, and what I'm looking at is helping him to become more compliant. And his is just a proposal for what he wants to do. What he currently does right now is he is a rehabber, and he actually wants to rehab churches that he's already involved with. And so I did consult with someone, namely someone in this line, which is a good thing. But that is an area that is really, really going to be important for what he's trying to do. And so, yes, that's he's in construction, or he's in construction in a rehab side, but not really, not totally. He's looking to really jump into it with these with the rehabbing of these churches.
You know what, that's a great topic for right this second, because one of the things is that the churches are, they don't know it, but they have no choice but to go green. The retrofitting levels and energy auditing that churches need to have will save them hundreds and thousands of dollars each month in going in and rehabbing the churches. So that's one of the things. I want to welcome the caller from 678-571. Caller, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Okay, and caller from 44286, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. We typically have a roundtable discussion in order to elevate the process in terms of the show. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. As everyone can see that, I guess for the past 18 months, the show has been at 5:30, and so we've elected to change it to 6 o'clock p.m. And currently, and I think this is a great time for us to change the calls to 6 o'clock. That makes it a little bit easier for working individuals to get involved in the dialogue. And we want to kind of promote the fact that some of the things that we do is just to have conversations candidly about the business owners and potential business owners, or even leaders that that are a part of associations online to kind of directly talk about what they're doing and what their organizations is doing from time, you know, and that makes a good bit of difference. And I want to welcome wholeheartedly to the call Maggie Barnes Freeman, who is our co-chair for our coalition and one of our founders of the organization. So I want to thank her for coming out of her retirement stage and coming aboard. Thank you. Welcome to the call, Ms. Freeman. Okay, maybe she's still in retirement. Anyway, so caller from 404, state your name and where you're calling from and what your organization does.
Yes, my name is Sandra Weeks, and I am the president of my homeowners association, as well as I am the neighborhood watch coordinator for my subdivision. And my line of
state?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What state, what city?
I am in Decatur, Georgia.
Okay, all right. All right. And I'm sorry, I just want to let everybody know where you were calling from demographically. So,
oh, okay. Thank
you. So you are a watch coordinator and a president of an association?
Yes, I am the president of our neighborhood, Glenwood Downs, the Greater Glenwood Downs Association, Inc.
Okay. All right. And what are you guys doing in Georgia? What's going on in your community? I think I know a little bit of this, so I'll kind of lead you into this. Your organization is bringing back your community in observation of the neighborhood stabilization funds that's been allocated for DeKalb County, I believe. And you guys are fighting off crime, and you have your neighborhood watch. And now I understand that you guys are a corporation that is compiling a series of movements to help secure your neighborhoods, right?
That is correct. We are actually, well, I guess we would be considered a 501c3, which will allow us the opportunity to take advantage of land banking. And land banking is where associations have the opportunity to assume land. There is a lot, well, not a lot, but we have had over the last several years, maybe 10 or 15 homes in my subdivision that were either foreclosed or for sale. The homes that are that end up going into foreclosure typically are purchased by investors. And the investor, they purchase the homes for little or nothing, and then they remodel the homes and basically flip them and sell them to other people in the community. So this hopefully will allow us the opportunity, once we get really up and running, the capability of purchasing those homes first as an association. Or if we decide not to purchase those homes, then we will play an intricate key as far as making decisions or allowing or telling the investor what we want or what we don't want, as far as if they sell a house and we have our covenant also reestablished that include the laws as far as what you can and cannot have in our subdivision. Another thing that we're trying to do is we have created a master plan which was sent to CEO Burrell Ellis, Commissioner Larry Johnson, who is over this district, which I live in District 3, as well as the Super District 7, Ms. Connie Stokes, among some other people, were copied on the letter. And the letter basically is stating that we know that there's funding available for the stabilization, and we want to tap into those funds where we can enhance and make our community vitalize our community to the point that people are wanting to move in the neighborhood as opposed to moving out of the neighborhood. They did it before in an area which used to be called Little Vietnam, and now that area has homes anywhere from $300,000-$500,000. In addition to that, they have one of the top golf courses in the United States where Tiger Woods, well, people don't want to talk about him too much lately, but anyway, he's not doing that well, but Tiger Woods actually come here and play at this particular golf course, and the golf course is right in a neighborhood that used to be considered Vietnam. So they were able to tap into funding to revitalize that area. We're actually in a prime real estate area, prime location, and what we want to do is we want to be able to do the same thing that was done to that community.
But you own your homes. You're not a renter. You are a homeowner that has been in the community for how long?
I have owned my home for 17 years.
Okay. So you are a stakeholder in the community.
Correct. And the majority of the people that live in this, this subdivision has 121 homes in the subdivision. Out of 121, I'm going to say maybe 70% are homeowners. And 30% are renters. And most of the people that do live in the subdivision that own their homes, they're people that work for the RS. They work for the government. They're real estate agents. They're nurses. I mean, these are like professional
working class professional individuals who have kept the neighborhood intact. One of the things I want to state is just kind of ask is that with that, you guys are pretty much becoming your own developers. You are venturing with some major stakeholders around the country, a couple of senators as well, and you're also working with the Builder Youth Program, and I think you're working with Mario Coleman as well with some of the multimedia in order to get the kids to interact with the community. Am I correct?
That is correct. We are working with all of those individuals who you just mentioned. Primarily, we're working, of course, with the NCWCC. We're also working with Upbuild Architect, owned by Nadine Levy, who is African-American female. We went and met Zaxby Chambliss, Senator Zaxby Chambliss, project coordinator, who has also backed us up as far as helping us with support, as far as sending a grant letter of support for any grants that we may try to ascertain for our particular subdivision, or not really this subdivision.
Are you saying Zaxby Chambliss, the Republican Zaxby Chambliss?
That would be correct.
And then you have his support in a community that's geared Democratic?
Actually, surprisingly, yes. There was a meeting that I was invited to, and I met his right-hand person, I guess, at the meeting. And from our discussion, telling her what we were trying to do or some of the things that I was trying to do, me being a single parent, for one, my daughter's in high school at a school that I really didn't want her to go to. But since being there, I have become an executive council member on the school board, as well as I am an advocate for the students, as well as the teachers, too. So if there's something
the students, you're working directly with Mr. Coleman with the students as well, aren't you, with another part of the Builder Youth Program? Am I correct?
That is correct. We're actually working with the Builder Youth Program, the multimedia department of the Builder Youth Program, and Mario Coleman is the director, and one of the things that we did do as far as working together and working with the school is that we had a poetry cafe event at the school. And with the poetry cafe, that was a way to kind of get the coalition foot in the door as far as letting them know that what are the opportunities, what are the advantages of being a part of the Build a Youth program for the students, and how they can maybe turn a negative situation into a positive situation by learning various trades, by getting paid to do certain jobs. And once they learn those trades, or if they work as an internship, the capabilities and the opportunities that they will have, whether they want to go and go to college or if they want to go to a technical school. Everyone may not be college material. And
right.
So for those students who aren't college bound, there is still hope for them. They just need to know which direction, and they need mentors, and they need people that can pull them underneath their wing and lead them in the right positive direction, as opposed to hanging out on the corners and trying to figure out which house they're going to rob next. So part
right.
of
the one thing, I mean to cut you off, but this week I got Mr. Coleman on the phone. Mr. Coleman, thank you. Welcome to the call, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
How's everybody? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I just wanted you to chime
hi.
In about the comment that Ms. Weeks made in regards to maybe some of the individuals that you touched, the young men that you've touched in the multimedia. And I think I want to just kind of lead that into the Poetry Cafe and how you have been able to work with these young men and women, but basically the young men who have found a different passion and a different enlightenment of how they are interacting now as young men. Can you kind of chime in about what your experience has been with those young people?
Yes. Through NCWCC Build a Youth Multimedia Program, we've been able to actually engage these young men and find out what their particular field of endeavor is, whether it be entertainment, working behind the scenes, or actually being a commentator on our Blog Talk radio show. So that being said, these individuals who kind of like it knew each other in passing are suddenly now all working together in unison. For example, Darnell, the young man who won the poetry contest, we actually got a chance to get together and interview him, but also we got a chance to put music to his piece, actually produce it. And he actually had a hand in that, seeing how the process was done. And we found out that he's actually interested in that particular field of multimedia. One of the other young men is Nikolai Carr, who has been, who works behind the scenes tirelessly, calling, getting guests for the show, discussing topics for each show. He's in contact with me and Ms. Weeks on a weekly basis. And he's really, really an exceptional young man, as of all the rest of them are, as far as really being organized and getting out there. And now this is probably a situation that he may have not had an opportunity to indulge in if it hadn't been for the multimedia, the NCWCC program being implemented into Towers High School. Last but not least is the young man, Anthony, who's been really active on the shows as kind of like a mediator / participant, where he's been able to really give us a true, down, raw vision of what's going on in the neighborhood. And the great thing about him is, even though he's surrounded by this, he hasn't succumbed to it. He has a great attitude. He's he's getting himself together to be able to go to college, as all three, as the other two young men I mentioned, are doing. So it's definitely been an a rewarding experience to have these young men that at one point, like I said, just knew each other in passing, working together as an individual unit to produce a show, to do projects, and it's just like they said, they just feel like they have a new direction now and a new passion based upon their connection with NCWCC.
Well, I think the connection is that you have a male figure like yourself who has been there. I mean, it's a stand up. It's real simple. What my saying has been is that men sharpen men. I think in the interview I heard basically from what I gathered is that this young man said that he found a new role model, which was Mr. Mario Cope.
Right, right.
So,
I'm guilty of humility here. But, and you know what? I think it was just as rewarding for me to be able to have these skills and talents and be able to pass them on to some of the young men that we've encountered so far in these programs that we've been a part of. I think that we as black men, and this is just my opinion, have a responsibility to reach back into the community and give our talents, our experiences, and our desire will to see these young men and women succeed. There's a lot of talk going around, but you know, I think that we owe it to the community to be proactive instead of sitting back talking about what's wrong. We need to be on the ground trying to touch these kids, trying to direct them, and give them some hope based upon where we've been, what we've seen, and how we can direct them.
And I think Ms. Weeks is very, 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 very active. One thing that she mentioned, which was very clear, there was what we are doing here is that NCWCC is changing the face of contracting. In order to change the face, you must build a foundation. Our greatest asset is our children. There was a time that we forgot about them. Without them, we as a people, not a race, but a people cannot exist. So the most crucial thing is that we have individuals that are on call and in the chat room right now. We have individuals who are basically engulfed in helping Coalition's mission in changing the face. And what changing the face to us is an effort to have succession planning. And succession planning, by us being a second-generation contracting firm, being able to pass this torch on to the Nikolais, to the Miriam, to the Anthonys, to the Britneys of the world, to the Dominiques of the world. These are the offsprings, individuals that are online that I know personally, and I want to thank you guys for coming to the call. So that this is actually our first show for the new year. We have been actively pursuing saving our children. This is the call. This is the charge that we have, ladies and gentlemen. This is the charge we have to keep. That is our motto for the National Coalition of Women of Color. All the other things mean nothing. I just want to make sure that I welcome the caller from 804 area code. Welcome to the call. Greetings. Okay. And so I want to just kind of make sure that I kind of just express opportunities that we as a coalition of folks are reaching into our community. There is a letter, a blog that's coming out called Smoking Mirror. And that is going to give a direction to not just what's happening in our counties that we live in right now, DeKalb, but also with all the other counties. Everyone is stagnant. We have people like Ms. Weeks, Mr. and Mrs. Coleman online. We have a caller from 804. We have a caller from 706. We have people that are online that are listening to us. We have our chairman of our board, Margaret Gardner. We have our Southeastern chairperson, Glenn Colbert from CSS Coaching. Our administrative individuals who are working behind the scenes, our staffers who are making things happen. And basically, you know, it took us more than, you know, 4 years to get into this mess. It took almost over 15 to 20 years to get into this situation. So this show, you know, I'm very proud to state that we have been consistent for the past 18 months, and I really, you know, just kind of sympathetically, you know, just kind of my heart goes out to Mr. Coleman, who is working diligently with our youth to allow them an opportunity to have a forum for themselves. And I know that's a very, you know, people think that's simple, but it's not. When you and Mr. Coleman, I really want to thank you for kids that the outline that you and Mrs. Weeks have put together to ensure that there is a continuity and a flow into the show. And the other thing is I want to announce to everyone else is that if you have a child that is interested in becoming a part of the Build a You program, Mr. Coleman is also a web designer, and he has a wonderful website for the kids, which is www.ncwccbuildayouth.org, and it has interactive things from YouTube that's on there, and it has a lot of information. It does have a. It is very all the graphics, the logo has all been conceived by him. Even with the original music from for both the Coalition and the Youth Build is conceived. The individual Mr. Darnell Brown has been conceived out of Mr. Coleman's vision. I think we're very, very, very blessed to have him a part of the Coalition. We also have a wonderful attorney who just came out of nowhere and is our attorney for the Coalition and our building youth, which is Eon Clark. And, you know, I just want to let everybody know that there's a series of individuals around the country. I can just start dropping names, but I want Lamont Porter from Ohio. You know, we have men who are here to help sharpen men, and we have women who are here to sharpen women. And I want to thank you guys for coming to the call, and I guarantee you that each week the show is going to get better and better. And I also want to thank our new partners, the U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce, that is one of our, you know, that has over 500,000 members strong, and then our partners in Ireland and Australia. And a lot of people do not believe that, you know, people around the world are very serious about having their children have a better life. And, you know, now's our time, and I want to thank you guys. I'm going to close out with Destiny Muhammad. I want to thank you guys for coming to the call. Each week we're going to just have the show at 6 o'clock to 6:45, and I just want to let you guys know that, you know, everything that you do, God is going to bless you and your generations. Your seeds will be blessed as a part of what you all do. And a lot of people don't understand that, some of us, but I believe that is why I feel that we're blessed as a family, because of what my grandmother did, my mother did, and what we do now. So these are the things, these are the outcomes of what we're trying to instill in our kids. And I want to thank you guys. I can talk forever, but I just want to kind of let the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction is never going anywhere. We have three generations deep in this organization. And, you know, I have a goddaughter, Dominique, who's going to be working in the NCWCC Building Youth that just graduated from college, and I'm proud of that. And, you know, we got something for these folks. We're not going anywhere. And I just want to thank you guys. I'm going to close out this show with Destiny Muhammad Grace.
And calling, and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you wisdom of all elders and the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. I am the blessing you seek. Seek my face. I'm all you will ever need.